In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. If your eye is spiritually sound, then your body will be filled with light. If your eye is not spiritually sound, then your body will be filled with darkness. Jesus Christ is telling us that we have to be careful for the welfare of our soul. If our spiritual eye is clear and we know that the things of the world are not the most important thing of all, that they will not give life to our soul, that they will not sustain our soul, then our spiritual eye is clear. But if our spiritual eye is dark in the sense that we believe that what we need more than anything else, first of all, are food and clothing, the best kind, the appreciation of others, whatever shortcoming or passion we have will darken our eye and not let the light of spiritual understanding pass into us. This isn't about Jesus saying that practical activity in the world ought not to be done. It's about lordship. That's the issue. It's one thing to do the things that need to be done of a practical nature. Everyone has to do those things. This isn't advice about how, if we are spiritual, God will shower us with good things. It's not the kind of impractical advice that we think that it is. It would be ridiculous for a person of a childish mind to take these passages and say, listen, mom, pop, I want to be spiritual. I'm not interested in working. It says right here in the Bible, Jesus says himself, I'm not supposed to take any thought for all these practical things. So I'm going to be spiritual. Now, I can imagine a young man or a young lady who really was serious about that and became a monk or a nun. And when you get to a monastery, you find out that you work to support the lives of all of the other monks as well as yourself, because the practical things need to be taken care of by everybody. The birds of the air, the fish of the sea, they all spend their lives constantly taking care of necessities. And we have to do that too. But that's a matter of course. That's our livelihood. That's our working in the soil. Or that's our working in our business. Or whatever it is that we do to sustain our bodies. But Jesus is talking about the eye of the soul. Are we able to look out into the world and see the things that are of first importance? Or do we have a constant kind of worshipful worry about the practical things of the world that doesn't add anything to the gaining of the necessities of life? Because the only way that we can do that is to do the practical things that lead to the gaining of the necessities of life. And that's the beginning and the end of it. But instead, do we fill our mind and our heart with worry about those things, with thought about those things, with wondering what other people think of the things that we have, or if we have a lot, feeling like we are owed the admiration of others, then we are worshiping those things. We're not simply gaining them, like any living thing in God's creation needs to gain the things that sustain the body. It's about lordship. We are giving a lordship to those things. In order to break the lordship of our central passion that clouds our eye and makes it impossible for us to see clearly, we have to do spiritual work. The central passion, the thing that has lordship over us, is generally invisible to us. We don't notice it, we don't see it. We don't even realize it's there. Why? Because it's our blind spot. That is the passion that is central, that we're not even aware of. When Sharon and I visited the Grand Canyon, we learned about the difference between mules and horses. A horse is a magnificent animal. Great strength, great speed, You look at a magnificent horse and you can see a kind of pride of life in this magnificent animal. Not like a lowly mule. But if something were to happen just out of the sight of a horse in its blind spot, all of a sudden it rears up in fear over what may be nothing and just takes off in an irrational burst of speed and strength. That's how it is with our passionate blind spot that has lordship over us. And we learned that mules have no blind spot. That's how we should be. A mule, because of the positioning of its eyes on its head, can see all 4 feet at the same time. It never puts a foot down that it doesn't know exactly where that foot is going, which is why you use mules instead of horses when you're going down the dangerous paths into the bottom of the Grand Canyon. They know exactly where each foot is being placed. Very practical. No blind spot. And that's how it should be with us. We need to discover what our blind spot is and deal with it so that we can look clearly into the world and do the things that are necessary in order to be reasonably successful at a practical level in our life. Everyone needs to find something like that to do. And the interesting thing is that when we find it, when we are doing the thing that we are able to do and to do well, we forget about ourselves. We do our best work when we are able to forget ourselves and just do what we are able to do well. The more self-conscious we are, the more we second-guess ourselves, the more we are concerned about things people might think about us, the less well we are able to apply ourselves to the doing of the thing that we are about. Every practical thing is like that. When it comes to making something, building something, we do our best work when we forget ourselves. We're just applying our abilities and our capacities in a practical way. When self-consciousness arises, it gets in the way of our being able to do our best. Instead of doing whatever it is we are trying to do, we become worshipers. If we are at all successful, then we may become proud of the ability that we attribute to ourselves of having been able to accomplish this. And the doing of it has a lordship over us. It becomes a passion. It becomes something that clouds our eye. And it will impede our ability to do our best. There is no conflict between doing our best at the practical things that need to be done in the world and having a clear eye that is unimpeded by pride or vanity or concern for what other people think or love of wealth. Because wealth is always for something else. It's never something we can pursue for its own sake, because vanity is built into that. And so when Jesus gives us this advice about how if our eye is whole, in other words, if we love what really is more important than serving the body, but instead love what serves the life that we live, which he reminds us is more than just food and clothing. We eat and we clothe our bodies to protect them for the sake of the life in us. But we don't want to betray the life that is in us by worshiping the means we use in order to protect the body. St. Theophylact says, Jesus does not tell us not to eat. He tells us not to focus on luxury and the joy of having more than we need of the best quality, and thinking that others should admire us because we have these things. Because no one except those who share our worship of those vain things will admire us, and they're fools. Their admiration isn't worth anything. Practical things are practical necessities, period. We are flesh and blood beings, limited beings living in the world for the certain time of our life, and we need to sustain ourselves in some practical way by the application of our abilities. But that's not all that life is about. Everyone's life is about more than that. If we buy into a love of the things of the world, then our eyes become clouded. The light in our heart, in our soul, in our mind grows dim, may even go out, and we are not able to see. We won't be able to understand why do we even have to live and do all of this work. It isn't worth it. It's not worth it for its own sake. And the people for whom that it is worth it for its own sake, those are the most miserable people of all in the end, because they have nothing but their own passions and their own vanity to support them. And those always turn to ashes in the end. So if we are going to live a meaningful and fruitful life, we have to listen to the practical words that Jesus is giving us. Don't give our minds and our worry and our thought over to concern for practical things. When it comes to practical things, do what's necessary, but don't make it into a form of worship. There is that in life that deserves worship. And it isn't the practical things. Practical things are of no value to the soul. The soul doesn't eat. It doesn't need to be clothed. But it does need to be fed. And you can't feed it with the things of the world. Understanding that explains everything about monasticism. Understanding that explains everything about our own spiritual life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.